Monday, April 22nd, marked day 8 in the Chad Daybell trial. We had quite a few witnesses on the stand today, and we even had Colby Ryan, Lori's son, on the stand, and it was very, very powerful and very important. I'm Linda with It's a Crime, so now let's get into it. First off this morning, we started with Agent Hart. Agent Hart was on the stand on Friday. He went through a bunch of text messages between Chad and Lori. Now, interesting to note, Lori at this time, and I did talk about it last week, Lori had a little hissy fit in August of 2019 before she moved down to Rexburg. And Chad was just devastated. And one of the messages it said from Chad to Lori, "Grandpa Keith is here. I am supposed to warn you that you are unprotected. The angels are angry that you are ignoring me. I told him to go back, but he says he isn't allowed to. I'm honestly not trying to manipulate you to respond. I understand that you need your space, but they say you have cut me off and the protection I built around your house is gone. I love you and I don't want you getting attacked. They said that if you at least give me a," and it's hard to see that, "it will restore our connection enough to give some protection." Now, this is interesting because obviously, you know, when somebody says, "I'm not trying to manipulate you," they're trying to manipulate you. However, this is Chad Daybell's pattern. He uses that to manipulate not just Lori, but he did that also to Tammy. He said he's getting these voices, and the voice of Grandma Lucille was the one who came to Tammy to say to get off your butt, stop playing Frontierville, and go do some ancestry work. So he has the same kind of tactic with Lori, going, "Oh my gosh, I'm so devastated. I need you to... you know, you no longer protected, so you're going to need me." He continues on this. Lori even used some tactics as well. She had a bikini shot in one of the texts as well, saying, you know, something to the effect of, "Look what you're going to be getting or missing," or something, whatever. It was gross. And Lori's other hissy fit was basically, "You go have fun with your wife. You go and do whatever you need to do with your family, blah, blah, blah." And basically she shunned and shut Chad out, and he was utterly devastated. And that's what he returned with, was saying that this Grandpa Keith is mad because you're not protected around your house. And there was a spot where John Pryor talked, of course. And side note, they wore both murderous ties today. Both John and Chad wore red. John Pryor said to Agent Hart, "Show me the text where it says, 'Hey, this is Chad. I killed the children.'" And I'm going to play the clip.
I didn't see in any of these. And if you have them in the other 10,000 that you went through, show me the one that says, "Hey, this is Chad. Let's kill the kids."
Objection, Your Honor. Argumentative, miss, and tries to put evidence not in fact. Overruled. Facts not in evidence.
Well, it's question on cross. It's overruled.
Show me the text. It says, "Let's kill the kids."
Well, that is argumentative, Mr. Pryor. If you want to ask if there's a text, that would be different.
Is there a text that says, "Let's kill the kids"?
There are several texts that talk in detail about the deaths of those two children. Yes.
Oh, well, in detail about the deaths and what happened during their deaths, right? Not "let's kill the kids," are there?
Wait a minute. What do you mean, what happened during their...
What I'm saying is that there's references to Ty Lee and JJ throughout text messages, correct?
Yes.
Okay. But there is not a text message that says, "Let's kill the kids," is there?
There are text messages in those specific words. No, but certainly alluding to and planning for the deaths of Ty Lee and JJ, yes.
Okay, and what in reference to how they're planning to kill the kids, why don't you talk to me a little bit about that? What exactly did you come across that says, "Let's plan on killing the kids"?
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the testimony. It's argumentative.
That is sustained.
Okay. You just made reference to the fact that there are text messages that talk about the planning of killing these kids, right?
Correct.
What text messages are you referring to?
There are several text messages between Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell that refer to a plan to take the children and Chad Daybell's ability as a supposed visionary to understand when that might happen.
Okay. Okay. So there's no specific text message that talks about we're going to kill the kids and live happily ever after, is there?
I would disagree. Contextually, I think that's the meaning of those texts.
Okay. So in other words, you're interpreting those texts how you think they should be understood, right?
Well, those texts talk about the deaths, using the word death, of Tylee and JJ. It talks mm-hmm. about their death percentage, and both Tylee and JJ ended up being murdered. So if that's context, then that's the conclusion I draw, yes.
The next witnesses we had was the babysitter who babysat JJ for 3 to 4 hours on the Saturday before he was killed. And then Lori told the babysitter that her daughter was attending BYU and she didn't like to babysit JJ unless she got paid for it. Now, at this point, it was almost 2 weeks since Tylee was killed. And so they went through with the babysitter basically about the short time that she babysat. She said that while she babysat, JJ got upset. He ended up breaking a mirror. He was throwing an ottoman. She said that Lori's demeanor was really interesting because she said she coddled him and she thought that she would at least address the behavior of his, but she didn't. So she noted that, and she thought that was a notable moment. Now, they also had the dean of BYU, and Lori kept saying that Tylee was going to BYU or she's enrolled, and she was telling everybody that. However, the dean of BYU said, yeah, no, Tylee didn't enroll there. We also had the principal of JJ also on the stand today, and he was the principal of the Rexburg school and said, you know, basically it was about 3 weeks that JJ was in school. Notable, Lori stripped JJ of his special amazing school that he was attending in Arizona, along with so many other things. We also had David Warwick on the stand. Now, David Warwick is married to Melanie Gibb, and Melanie Gibb and David, who weren't married at the time to each other, the time that JJ died, they were present at Lori's house that weekend. And they went through David about when he met Chad, which was back in 2015. They walked through some times that he encountered Chad, and then they talked about the weekend that JJ was killed. Now, David talked about how he saw Lori that morning that they were going to leave. It was the Monday morning, September 23rd. And he said that Lori was acting strange and being dramatic. And he said, well, I want to say goodbye to JJ. And she said, oh, well, you know, he was acting like a zombie. He was going up on the cupboards and he knocked over a picture of Jesus. And so Alex came and took him away and he's looking after him. And David said, like, yeah, no, I didn't believe that. And he is in the building business and a contractor or something like that. And he was saying, yeah, I wouldn't have known. I looked at the cupboards. It didn't look like that was true at all, that the crown molding would have been coming off on the cupboards and that sort of thing. And we heard that before, that David said, yeah, I don't believe a thing about that. And David and Melanie and Lori the night before on the Saturday night, or that was that Sunday night. That might have been the Sunday night. I'm sorry. It was the Sunday night, the 22nd. They had a podcast they were doing together and Alex came in with JJ and he was over his shoulder. And then we know what happened next. One of the things he mentioned was really interesting. He was there's two things. He was talking about on the Sunday going to a beautiful park. And Lori, Chad, Melanie, and David went to this spot. And Lori and Chad were talking about this beautiful building being at this park. And David says on the stand, but there was no building. And I think it was just Lori and Chad trying to get him to believe that they saw it, and he didn't. He was calling BS on it. So we had a little joke in the live stream, we were joking about it because it's imaginary pretty much. So that was kind of weird. And also, they were talking about one little spot that I detected David say, and he said when he met Lori and Chad in Arizona, not that he met them first time, but he met them in Arizona, they all gathered and they were talking about a bunch of things. And he said a lot of the things that they were talking about, he didn't believe to be true. And he even mentioned Satan's hour. And that, my friends, is what I've been talking about for the last 4 years, is about this Satan's hour, devil's hour slash witching hour that I've talked about between that 3 and 4 o'clock mark, around the 3:15, that I will do another video on it. I really should get that done, but I talked about it several times throughout the years that I believe they were all the same time. Tylee, JJ, and Tammy were the same time that they were killed. And he brought up Satan's hour today, and I thought, wait a minute, that's what I've been talking about. So stay tuned for that. Now, with Colby Ryan was on the stand, and Chad's demeanor was very interesting. He was very fidgety as we waited for Colby to go up, and more so than I've ever seen Chad so far, in my opinion. Let me know what you think about that in the comments below. And Colby's demeanor when he came in, and I had wondered, because really we haven't seen Colby. I mean, he was on the stand with Lori's, but this is a whole different thing as well. Colby's never met Chad really ever. And he's been to his preliminary and whatnot, but he's never met Chad. So what's interesting is here he is going to see him again. Now, we've seen him before in court and he was giving the evil eye to Chad, which is great. But we saw him today, very guarded, especially when John Pryor was doing his cross. Now, he did a great job, Colby did. And he was feeding a little bit back to John. And I'm going to read some of this for you because there's a couple things to point out. I'm going to play the entire clip with Colby. It's important. But John came and talked about Tylee and said she was very caring, very kind in many ways, more of a mother than JJ. But it was awesome because Colby's like, I think she was his big sister, is being the big sister. And she loved him, yeah. So John was already trying to get under Colby's skin. And I noticed, it just felt like, because the air was pretty thick, it felt like Colby would be the one to think, don't say my sister's name. You know what I mean? I wouldn't blame him if he thought that. There's another thing that John was saying. Well, Lori lied to you about Charles having a heart attack, and she lied to her own son, you know, the first time, second time. And he goes, yeah, there was a lot of lying in a lot of places. Because he was making it sound like it was just Lori. So that was a beautiful line. And one more thing, John is really trying hard to bring up Melanie Gibb in every chance he gets. He brings up Melanie Gibb. What about Melanie Gibb? What about, there's no Melanie Pawlowski, Melanie Boudreaux. It's all about Melanie Gibb. So he brings up that Melanie Gibb and Lori are besties, right? And Colby's like, well, yeah, okay. I don't know. So they were trying to say that, was Melanie Gibb a big influence on Lori, or that Lori has a pretty big personality? Would she be influenced? And it kept going back and forth. But it's interesting because he full on said, well, no, my mom, no, that's not how it goes. So I love that he was doing pushback.
The state calls Colby Ryan.
He'll be good. He'll be okay. Look at Chad fidget like crazy.
I swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
Ooh. I'm nervous at this point. Are you guys?
Thank you.
All right. Now that the witness has been sworn, I'll just inquire, Mr. Ryan, these trial proceedings have been streamed live on the court's YouTube channel and open for public access. Have you reviewed or watched any of this testimony that's taken place?
No.
Oh, and actually,
I was just going to note, Your Honor, Mr. Ryan is not subject to the exclusionary warrant.
I appreciate you pointing that out, Mr. Wood. That's correct. So as a statutorily definite with the definition here, he would not be subject to that. So disregard my inquiry. Mr. Wood, you can go ahead and proceed.
And before I do, Your Honor, may I be handed State's Exhibits 6 and 4?
Yes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ryan.
Good afternoon.
Can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Yes. Colby Ryan, R-Y-A-N.
Mr. Ryan, who is your mother?
Lori Vallow.
How many siblings do you have?
Four.
Can you tell us their names?
Cole, Zach, Tylee, and JJ.
And Cole and Zach, what is your specific relationship or relation to them?
They're my stepbrothers.
Who was their father?
Charles Vallow.
Your Honor, may I publish?
Yes, that's an admitted exhibit, correct?
Yes, this is State's Exhibit 6.
Okay. Yes, you may.
Mr. Ryan, do you recognize that individual?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who is that?
That's my sister, Tylee.
What is your specific relation to Tylee?
She's my half-sister on my mom's side.
Okay. So you share a mother?
Mm-hmm.
Your Honor, may I publish State's Exhibit 4?
Yes.
Mr. Ryan, do you recognize that individual?
Yes.
And if you need a drink of water, I don't know if there's tissues up there.
Yeah, I'm good.
Who is that?
That is my brother, JJ.
And what is your specific relation to JJ?
He is my adopted brother.
Do you recall when JJ was adopted?
Yes.
Do you know who Charles Vallow was?
Yes.
Who was he?
He was my stepfather.
And when you say stepfather, how was he your stepfather?
He married my mom.
How long was he married to your mom?
Over 10 years.
All right. And what was your relationship like with Mr. Vallow?
He was my dad. It was good.
So is it fair to say you were close with him?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you recall when Mr. Vallow passed away?
Yes.
Or Charles Vallow? If I say Charles, we understand who we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Do you recall when he passed away?
Yes.
When was that?
July 11th, 2019.
How did you hear about him passing away?
My mom called me and told me that he had had a heart attack.
And do you remember about what time of day that was?
Between like 1 and 3 o'clock, something in the afternoon.
In the afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any reason to not believe her that that's how he passed away?
No.
Did you have any occasion to go over and to your mother's house that day?
Yes.
And where was that house located?
In Gilbert, Arizona.
Do you know approximately what time you went over?
And my off at work is 7, so around 7:30, 7:45.
What happened? What was the first thing you saw when you got there?
Tylee opened the door and hugged me, and she was crying. And then I saw my Uncle Alex sitting on the couch with a bandage around his head. And then I saw my mom in the backyard, and that was it.
Did you go into the house?
Yes.
Did you see your brother JJ there?
No.
Did you speak with Alex Cox at all that night?
Yes.
How did that conversation go? What did he say to you?
Objection, hearsay.
Statement of a co-conspirator, Your Honor.
Overruled.
Tell us about the conversation with Alex Cox. Well, and before we do that, what was your relation to Alex Cox?
He was my uncle.
And you testified you saw him with something white wrapped around his head?
Yes.
Did you speak to him at all that night?
I asked him what was on his head, and he said that Charles had hit him in the head with a bat and that he had shot him in self-defense.
And is that how you learned how your stepdad died?
Yes.
Did he tell you anything else about that altercation? And did you ever have any other occasion to speak to him about that altercation?
No.
You said you saw your mother that night. And what was her demeanor?
Calm. Unrattled.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was crazy. So I was freaking out. And she seemed to not care.
And did you speak to your mother that night about how Charles had actually died?
Yes.
How did that conversation go?
She told me there was a fight and ran through it very quickly. And it was just in shock. I can't remember exactly what she said, but she just basically gave me a very quick version of the story.
Did she tell you why she had lied to you earlier? Do you remember if you asked her?
I don't remember.
Did you ever speak with Lori Vallow about Charles Vallow's life insurance policy?
Yes.
When was, do you know if that happened multiple times?
I know she'd mentioned it growing up. She talked to us about what would happen if either one of them, something happened to them, what would happen. I think it was a few weeks later that she brought up that she was not going to receive any of the money from Charles.
Yeah, let's just take a quick step back. When you say a few weeks later, what do you mean a few weeks later?
After Charles was murdered.
Okay. And she told you then that she was not going to receive that money?
Yes.
From that conversation, was it your understanding that she had been expecting to receive that money?
Yes.
And, okay. When Charles was alive, did you ever have occasion to speak with Lori Vallow about her and Charles's finances?
Yes.
Was that something that came up often?
Yes.
About how often, to the best of your recollection?
I would say Maybe monthly, once a month.
And what was the general nature of those conversations?
From what I understood, Charles would work and then receive a bigger amount of money, and then it would kind of run out, and then they'd make another bigger amount, and then it would run out. So it's kind of the nature of the conversation would be that they were running low on money, something to that degree.
Okay. And was that a common theme then?
Mm-hmm.
And just to be clear, the common theme that they were running out of money?
Yes.
Do you know who Tylee Ryan's father was?
Yes.
Who was that?
Joseph Ryan.
And I know that you and Joseph Ryan have the same last name.
Yes.
Was he your biological father?
No.
Okay. But did you take his last name?
Yes.
And do you know if Mr. Ryan is alive or deceased?
He's deceased.
And do you recall when that happened?
Summer of 2018, I think, something around that time.
You don't remember the exact date?
No.
And were you aware if Tylee Ryan received Social Security benefits after Joe Ryan passed away?
Yes.
How did you learn that?
My mom told me that she would be receiving benefits.
And do you know if she received that monthly?
Yes.
Did you ever receive money from Tylee Ryan?
Yes.
How would that usually happen?
Venmo. She would Venmo me.
Would you ever ask her for some money?
I did, yes.
And about how often would that happen?
Maybe I can recall asking Tylee specifically a couple times. I would mostly ask my mom, and Tylee would be the middleman between those transactions. So I'd ask my mom, and she would tell Tylee to send the money.
All right. Speaking of that, to your knowledge, did Lori Vallow ever send you money by sending it to Tylee, who would then Venmo it to you?
Yes.
And how did you know that?
I would ask my mom, and then she said, okay, Tylee, we'll send it over to you.
Do you recall the last time you saw Tylee Ryan?
Yes.
When was that?
It's August 30th.
And where was that?
It was outside of my work, in the parking lot.
Is that in Arizona?
It was in Mesa, Arizona, outside of a gym.
And what was the nature of that visit?
My mom was very vague and said that they were leaving. She brought Tylee and JJ, and Tylee was crying and didn't say anything really. And I hugged JJ, and my mom said that they'd be back in a few weeks to visit.
Did she tell you where she was going?
No.
Do you recall if you asked?
I did ask initially.
But she wouldn't tell you?
No.
Did you receive or did you exchange text messages with Tylee Ryan on September 8th of 2019?
Yes.
What was the nature of that text exchange?
I think I had asked her to send money. And I think we had talked earlier that day a little bit. I didn't talk to her directly, but I had heard her voice, and they said that they were on a trip. And I think I'd asked her for money. I think that's what it was.
Okay. And did she respond? Do you recall?
Yes.
What did she respond?
I don't remember what she said exactly. I do remember. I remember her last text that she said was just the "I love you" and "I love the girls."
And you said you heard her voice earlier that day. How did you hear her voice?
she was in the background of my conversation with my mom.
And did your mom tell you where they were?
She said they're at Yellowstone Park.
Did you ever have a conversation with Lori Vallow after Charles's death about Tylee's Social Security money?
Yes.
What was the nature of that conversation?
So if I recall, she said that Tylee's money was not going to be everybody's money since she...
Judge, can I have some foundation as to time, date, place this discussion took place?
So a foundation objection, Mr. Wood?
Your Honor, I'll ask a few more questions.
Thank you.
Do you recall approximately when that conversation took place?
I don't.
Okay. Was it in person?
I don't recall. I think it was on the phone, maybe.
I bet it was after Charles's death.
Yes.
And just to be clear, you don't recall the exact date?
No, I don't remember.
What was the nature of that conversation about Tylee's money?
Judge, again, foundation.
Overruled.
You can answer the question.
Yeah. The initial question I had is, how are you going to take care of Tylee and JJ now? And I knew that she wasn't going to be receiving the money. So she said, we're going to supplement some of Tylee's money for now. And I'm going to go work. That was what she said. And that was basically the nature of it. She said, we're going to start using Tylee's money to make it through. And I think that I don't know if they were receiving anything for JJ, but that was the nature of the conversation.
Okay. So you don't recall if she mentioned JJ receiving Social Security?
I don't remember, but I know about it. I just don't remember if she said that.
Okay. And do you recall if she said anything about her receiving Social Security benefits after Charles died?
No.
The last time you saw Tylee, was that also the last time you saw JJ? And I think you said that was September or August 30th of 2019?
Yes.
I want to talk to you about November 27th, 2019. Hmm. Were you contacted by the Gilbert police on November 27th of 2019?
Yes.
What was the purpose of that contact?
They came to our door looking for Tylee and I think JJ as well. I specifically remember them asking about Tylee first.
Okay. And what did you tell them?
I said I didn't know where they were.
Do you recall if you told them about the last time you had seen them?
I think so.
At that time, had you been concerned about Tylee?
Yes.
Why is that?
Our conversations were not normal. The way her dialect and her text, the way she spoke wasn't matching up. And I had texted her for her birthday. And just things of that nature, just wasn't getting calls, wasn't getting any contact in a normal way, and was always avoided. So I thought maybe she was upset with me, but I just didn't want to pressure her because I know she'd been through a lot.
And so you mentioned text messages. Was there a change in those messages?
Yes.
How so?
Just little things, like if you capitalize the letter I in periods and emojis, just things like that. Things just didn't sound right. And it just felt off when I was receiving those texts.
Do you recall the last time you spoke with her on the phone?
The last time I directly spoke with Tylee was on the 30th with JJ on FaceTime. So the same day that I saw them.
So you FaceTimed with them later that day?
Yes.
And then you never spoke with her again on the phone? But you, going back to those text messages, you did you keep receiving text messages throughout September of 2019?
Yes.
And are those the messages that you felt were different?
Yes.
Okay. Did you respond to those messages?
Yes.
After the beginning of September, did you continue to receive money from Tylee's Venmo?
I think so.
Do you recall how often?
I think maybe a couple more times. So maybe two or three.
And did you receive any more money from Lori Vallow?
Yes.
And how would she send that?
So she started sending money after I had not heard from her for since that day. She started sending money on Cash App. I think she made a separate account and just tried to send money, and it kept denying it because it was a new account. I think it was all through Cash App at that point, at just random times.
Okay. And was it in response to you asking for money, or was it just sent? Do you recall?
It was just sent.
After Charles Vallow died, did you ever speak with your mom about her getting married again?
Yes.
And do you remember when that conversation was?
Maybe a few weeks after.
After he passed away?
After he was gone, yes.
And what did she tell you about that?
It wasn't really a conversation. She just said a one-off thing like, I'll be married again soon. And I disregarded her and told her that I think that's crazy, or maybe she's talking about in the next life. It wasn't a real conversation. It was just a comment she made, and I completely dismissed what she said.
So she didn't give you any details about who she was marrying?
No.
When she was getting married?
No.
Other than soon?
Just soon, yeah.
Okay. Did your mom ever mention the name Chad Daybell to you?
I don't think so, no. I know she was becoming spiritual, if you want to call it that, for a long time, but she doesn't. I only knew Melanie. I didn't know anybody else that she was spending a ton of time with.
And when you say Melanie, which Melanie?
Melanie Gibb.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you contact your mother after November 27th when you were contacted by the Gilbert police?
I immediately contacted her after they left.
What did you say to her?
I asked her, what is going on? Why are they asking? Why are the cops asking where Tylee and JJ are? And she said, I think she asked me, like, what did they ask? And I said, they asked for Tylee and JJ. And I said, what's going on? And she just proceeded to say, I'll take care of it. You know, don't worry about anything. And she's like, that's it. Like, I got it.
At that point, did you know where your mother was?
No.
So she had never told you where she was?
No. We speculated based off of the Yellowstone thing, but I didn't have an idea where she actually was.
And so you didn't know she was in Rexburg, Idaho?
No.
And she never told you that?
No.
Did you try to contact your mother on Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Did she respond to you?
No.
Did you ever have contact after that with your mother before she was arrested?
I think she sent an email not too long, maybe within a couple of weeks. And the nature of the email was, everything's fine. Everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about me. I've got Jesus on my side, blah, blah, blah. But basically just saying, it's okay. I've got things handled.
Your Honor, I have no further questions at this time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wood. Cross-examination, Mr. Pryor.
Here we go. John's going to get under his skin. Oh, boy.
Good afternoon. Can you tell me how old you are?
28.
You mentioned a number of times that you were receiving money from Tylee and Lori. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And 2018, 2019.
Yes.
Sound about right?
Yeah.
Four, five, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Financially, is there a reason why they were sending you money?
We were just a young family and I just needed help and I was asking my mom for help.
You were a young family with children of your own?
Yes.
Okay. And just difficulty supporting yourself?
Yeah.
So your sister Tylee was helping out?
Sometimes, yeah.
And that was consistent with her character, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Very caring person.
Very.
Very kind person.
Yep.
She was in many ways more of a mother figure to JJ than Lori was. Would you agree with that?
I think she was his big sister.
Right. Very caring of JJ. Very, very protective of JJ. Would you agree with that?
She loved him. Yeah.
And she understood him better than almost anybody, correct?
Sure.
He had tremendous challenges as a young autistic, 7-year-old autistic child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of all your siblings, you would probably say that Tylee was probably the kindest, the gentlest, and the most understanding of JJ. Would that be fair?
Sure.
Yeah. Good. Now, you mentioned that Lori called you to let you know that Charles had died.
Yes.
She didn't tell you that Alex gunned her down in the house, right?
No.
She lied to you.
Yes.
That it was a heart attack.
Yes.
So you're Lori's son, natural son, right?
Yes.
So Lori Vallow lied to her son the first time saying that Charles died of a heart attack, correct?
Yeah, there's a lot of lying in a lot of places.
And Lori lied a lot to you, right?
Other people too were, right. Yeah.
But Lori lied a lot to you.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
And then you mentioned the name Melanie Gibb.
Mm-hmm.
Was Melanie Gibb in on this lying to you as well about covering things up?
I didn't speak to Melanie Gibb.
Okay. But Lori and Melanie were the best of friends, right?
You could say that.
Yeah. And Lori met Melanie because Melanie was teaching classes about religion and about various religious topics. And Lori gained an interest in that. And that's how that friendship started, correct?
I'm not exactly sure. She was at our Christmas party one time and then she was there as her friend. So I didn't know what their exact connection was.
When was that Christmas party?
2018.
Okay. And the two of them were together and it was abundantly clear that the two of them were very, very close friends, right?
Sure.
Okay. At the time that your mother notified you, you were at work, is that right?
Yes.
So did you get that message while you were actually working or was it over a break or how did that transpire?
So I was in the middle of my workday and she called me and then I went over there after work.
And where were you working at that time?
At Anytime Fitness.
Okay. And so you took a break. Do you need to take a break?
No, you're good.
Okay. You took a break and your mother called you or texted you and said there was a heart attack.
Yes.
No mention of self-defense.
No.
No mention that Alex shot Charles in self-defense, right?
No.
She was clearly lying to her son, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fight that occurred between Charles and Alex, Tylee was there, and she was implicated in that, correct?
Yes.
And she was present for that fight and that entire altercation, from what you understand, correct?
Objection. States facts, not in evidence.
Overruled.
Correct?
From what I understand, yes.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you're... Your father isn't Joseph Ryan, correct?
No.
But are you aware that your mother in 2018 received a sizable life insurance policy from Joseph Ryan?
I am now, yes.
You are now, like right now?
I mean, I heard that later on, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're aware that financially, Lori Vallo had a significant amount of money as of middle or late of 2018, correct?
Yes.
Okay. During this time that there was discussion with Charles about financing, was it Charles Vallo who was the primary financer of the family's expenses?
Yes.
Your mother chose not to work.
She worked, I think, in the beginning, and then I think he just took over. I'm not sure. I was a child.
Okay. So when there was financial issues, it was your mother putting this all on Charles to provide for the family. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. And you already previously mentioned that you'd communicate with Tylee at least like once a month. Is that fair, or was it more frequently than that?
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
You communicated with Tylee at least once a month. Was that fair?
Growing up or?
Well, in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Okay. And the manner that you would communicate was by text message?
Primarily.
Okay. And how often with JJ would you communicate with JJ?
I mean, it really depends. Tylee and I would see them more often, so I didn't have much time for them not being around.
Okay.
So before that, it wasn't once a month. It was a lot more frequent. They right. lived in the same place and I would go see them.
Okay. And when you communicated with Tylee, or excuse me, when you communicated with JJ, it was always Tylee there, right? Usually?
Yeah.
Not Lori.
She would be there too.
Okay. Now you mentioned that you saw Tylee on August 30th in Mesa, Arizona. That was the last time you saw them. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And you had mentioned that Tylee was obviously upset.
Yes.
Okay. Did you have any prior information that Tylee just did not want to go to Idaho?
No, because I didn't know she was going to Idaho.
Okay. So she was obviously upset about something.
Yeah.
And it was the day that they were packing up to leave to go to Idaho. Is that right?
Yes.
And prior to that time, there was no indication that Tylee was upset about anything else. Is that right?
I don't know how to answer that question.
Okay, that's fair. Do you remember that? And from August 30th, you then had a FaceTime call with both Tylee and JJ later that afternoon, late evening.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about what time that was?
Probably when I got home, so anywhere between 7 to 8 p.m.
Okay. And you don't know where they were at that point, though, right?
They were back at the house.
In Gilbert?
Yes.
Okay. They hadn't left, but they were preparing to leave.
They were leaving in the morning, from what I understood.
Was Tylee still upset about the fact that she was leaving for Idaho?
Not on the phone call, no.
Okay. Now on the back in late November, you had then had an occasion to talk with your mother, is that right? After the Gilbert police spoke with you?
Yes.
And again, your mother lied to you again?
Yes.
Was Melanie Gibb there?
Where?
On the phone. Any indication that Melanie Gibb was there listening in on the phone call?
No.
You don't know whether she was or not, or you just don't know?
I have no idea if she was there.
Okay. Now, your mother's a strong personality, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
She's not someone that people can tell her what to do. Would you agree with that?
Not necessarily.
Okay. So you think she could be influenced very easily, right?
That's a big gap between not influential and influential.
Okay, but you would agree that your mother is one to speak her opinion when she has an opinion about a subject, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Did you have an occasion to ever interact or observe the way your mother talks to her friends, let's say Melanie Gibb, how she interacts with someone like Melanie Gibb?
Yes.
And that sort of interaction between them, your mother was a wallflower, or did she tend to speak her opinion when she spoke with her good friend Melanie Gibb?
Can you define wildflower?
Wallflower, someone very passive, who wouldn't argue, someone who would just accept the way things are.
She did not like confrontation.
Okay.
She avoided it. So take that for what it is. I don't know.
Okay. So if getting in a discussion with Melanie Gibb, she would avoid confrontation. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay. Did she ever tell you in late November, after the police called you, that JJ and Tylee were with Melanie Gibb?
No.
You know, Judge, I think that's all I have. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pryor.
Now, one of the things, too, we got to remember, and it's been so many years that sometimes we forget, but Colby lost his siblings, and he didn't know about Chad. All he knew was all of a sudden his mom moved away, his siblings moved away, then they were lost, then they were reported missing, then they were found, and then his mom is arrested, and then this guy all of a sudden marries his mom, and he's wondering what the heck's going on, and he loses his family, including Charles, who was like a dad to him. And now he's on the stand. He's lost almost everyone in his immediate family. He did. He lost everyone, really, in his immediate family. And now he's on trial, or he's on the stand, on the witness stand, speaking up for his siblings. An interesting note, speaking of siblings, is he said today that he had four siblings, JJ, Tylee, and then also Charles's sons. But Colby actually has another brother, and it was announced, I feel like a year ago or 2 years ago, that his biological dad has another son who's younger than Colby but taller than Colby. So I found that interesting. There's one more thing that John Pryor is trying to push at throughout the day, and it's the seven gatherers. I heard him say this last time too. He must have heard something for him to keep bringing up the seven gatherers. And somebody in here said today in the live stream that, well, the seven gatherers were Alex, Lori, Chad, Melanie Gibb, Melanie Pawlowski, David Warwick, and Zulema was seven. And I thought maybe it might have had to do with the seven missions to accomplish together, but then somebody brought that up, and seven actually works. But there's something that he must have heard that he's trying to pinch these guys about. Are on. Let me know what you guys think below, because there's something to this. And today I announced another little emoji for the It's a Crime Ring membership, and it is an emoji of John. So last week we had Chad Tato that I made. That was requested, and now John Mato. Thought you guys might like that, just to liven things up. Today was really tough with Colby when he lost it. I was losing it. It was really sad. And it's heartbreaking. What do you think John's whole strategy is at this point? And do you think the prosecution is gaining some traction day by day? Or do you think these last couple days have been lost in translation? Let me know below. Check out a Colby video right here about the vehicle that Lori gave to him. And check out some more videos on the case, the most important videos in the case, right here. Thanks so much for watching. See you in the next video.